I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me this opportunity to come and to share his word with you. And one of the words that was on my heart this morning, I don't know if you know the psalm, but it says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are what? Safe. Oh, and so I thank God this morning that I am safe in his arms. And we want to continue to keep your pastor in prayer this morning as he's recovering. And so let me pray for us, and then we will just go right to the word, because I believe that the Lord has a word for our hearts this morning, a word of encouragement that I'm hoping is going to bless you as it has blessed me. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to share your word. Lord, I pray that you would just open up our hearts to receive what the Spirit has to say to the church this morning. And I pray that it would go down into their hearts and that it would bring forth the fruit of your joy, the fruit of your encouragement, Lord. And I pray, Father, also, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you're my strength, and this morning you're my redeemer. So I thank you for that. I love you, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, the topic that I'm going to speak from, one, is that the Lord is your keeper, and it's coming from Psalms 131, and it was one of my favorite psalms when I was growing up as a child. I used to love to just play a preacher. So, you know, that's why you should always encourage your children, watch them and see what they act as. And that will give you an indication of maybe the call that God had on their life. But I can remember as a child, just one verse where I would walk around and just say, I will lift up my eyes, all dramatic, unto the Lord. From whence cometh my help? Because I learned it in the King James. And he says, my help comes from the Lord. So another thing that was a favorite of myself as I was a child is that I grew up in the inner city of Newark, New Jersey. And one of the things I loved about growing up in the inner city, in my neighborhood in particular, is that there was a church on every corner. Sometimes there would be three churches in one block. And I loved to go in because in those days, and I'm going to age myself, but about 50 years ago, in those days, they would have a service in the church, the preacher would be having a conversation with the people in the pew. And man, it was just a blessed time. And that style of preaching is actually called call and response. And it literally means that the preacher would speak something true about God, and those with experience in the pew would confirm it. It would go something like this. The preacher would say, he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. And somebody with experience in the pew would say, you're coming down my street. You're sitting on my pew. Would say that back to the preacher. Or maybe the preacher would say, God has made a way. And an old mother in the church would say, sure, you're right, preacher, because they didn't say pastor. They would call him preacher. Sure, you're right, preacher, because he's made a way for me and my children. And I know some of you might even remember this because we would teach this even this summer to the kids in Kids Place, where when we were teaching about the fruit of goodness, one of the things we would say is, God is good. And what do you think they would say? Somebody's Baptist in here. Ah, that's right, because the Baptist folks would say all the time, and the preacher would say all the time, and the pew would say all the time. You got it. So no matter where you were on your journey in the Lord, whether you were just starting out or you were a child like me, or you were well seasoned in the Lord, that style of preaching caused the pew to leave that service encouraged. And I believe that Psalms 121 is a call and response kind of psalm. It Psalms 121, there's an affirmation of God that I believe is spoken by one person, and the confirmation of God's ability and capabilities is spoken by another person. And I think the second person is probably an elder brother or a priest, but it's somebody that's well seasoned in the Lord. And so there is this back and forth that's going on between these two speakers who are affirming and confirming some goodness, some things about the goodness of the Lord in the lives of his people as they are traveling along a dangerous journey. And when we understand this Psalms, and hopefully at the end of this sermon, you'll be able to apply it to your life, and that if you came in with any kind of concerns, you're going to leave more comforted and encouraged instead of discouraged and worried. Psalms 121, just to give you a little bit of the background, it is a psalm of ascent. There's 15 of them from Psalms 122 to 134. And ascent just means going up, because the children of Israel, they would sing the Psalms when they would travel to go worship the Lord in Jerusalem in the temple. And they, when they were going to celebrate one of the three major annual feasts. It was the Passover in the spring that they would celebrate, and Pentecost in the early summer, in the tabernacle in the fall. And so this psalm, or these psalms of ascent, I should say, it was like a traveler's song book. They would take it along with them. You know, like when you would go on a car trip, a long car trip, and you would take some songs with you to keep you occupied along the way. Well, this psalm in particular that they would sing, it was so that they can calm their fears and anxieties about the journey. And so the Psalms, it encouraged them to keep on traveling along the journey, and that it was to encourage them that they were going to make it to their destination, make it to the temple to worship God. They would make it there safely. And you know what? This Psalms reminds us that from the moment that we say yes to Jesus Christ, that we started out on a journey. And that journey is filled with a lot of trials and tribulations that can cause us worries and discouragement. You might be on a journey this morning. Maybe you're a little anxious about something. Somebody could be on a journey where they have just started chemotherapy, and God knows that is a journey that will cause some anxiety. And if it's not that, maybe you just are on a journey of getting ready to send your children back to school. And God knows in this environment and day and time that we're living in, that can cause some anxiety and worry. Or maybe it is that you yourself are getting ready to go back to the office after working remotely for 2 years. That will cause us some anxiety. But whatever it is that's causing us anxiety this morning, I believe God has sent me here with this particular message to encourage you that God is your keeper, and to give you the assurance that he's going to protect you through every journey that you have to take in your life, every step you have to make in this life, all the way into eternity, so that we can worship him for all of eternity. So now that I gave you that introduction and I've let you know the purpose of the psalm, let me give you a little bit of the context, and let me try to prove it through the text. So now, if we look in verses 1 and verses 2, the psalmist, he begins to give this testimony of an affirmation about who God is. And it is a beautiful confirmation of, or confession, I should say, of faith. This is what he says. He says that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Do you see that beautiful picture that he is painting, affirming the helping power of God? Now look, when the second speaker comes and he begins to affirm, yes, God is our helper. But what he does is He gives us, beginning in verse number 3, he gives us a deeper perspective of God. And what we learn is that God is not simply depicted as our helper just on a certain journey, but 6 times in 8 verses, you can check it out for yourself, because I would encourage you to go read the Psalms, because it's only 8 verses, but check it out. In the original Hebrew, you will see that there are 6 times in 8 verses that the word keeper is used. It's in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, 7, and 8. And God is depicted as a keeper in every journey of life, from birth to burial and beyond. That's what you're going to pick up in that in those verses. Now, the question is, what is a keeper? What really does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word for keeper, it's a major Old Testament word. It actually occurs about 431 times, and it is a word that paints the picture of one who is exercising great care to watch over, and so that you can keep and preserve and protect and a guard against any hurt, harm, danger, or loss. It's like a mother, a concerned mother, watching over a child, a baby, very carefully. That's how God keeps us and watches over us. And so that's a depiction of God's keeping power. So now let's get into the text. Let's investigate, what is this keeping power all about? And why is it that I can have the assurance that God is going to protect me throughout my life? And you know what? There may be some things I'm hoping that we will pick up on that we can appreciate about God that maybe we've taken for granted. So here's the first point of encouragement that I believe that we can glean from this Psalms. And that is, God keeps us stable with his constant care. In verse number 3, the psalmist declares that God is not going to permit your foot to slip, but he's going to keep you and he will not slumber. So here's the context. As they were traveling, I'm talking about the children of Israel, to Jerusalem, they would have to navigate through the mountainous terrains and the cliff, and they would be having to climb up the rocks and on the mountainside, and it would be a dangerous journey. Why? Because the slopes would be slippery, and there would be rocks that would be loose, and they could fall. So by saying, God will not allow your foot to slip, the psalmist is actually painting a picture of an unstable environment. And by saying that God never slumbers, in verse number 4 says he doesn't sleep, he's painting a picture of this watchman who doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. And so he is constantly watching over us with his attentiveness. And so the psalmist then is telling the original speaker, don't worry. God's going to keep you stable in the midst of that unstable environment. And so the psalmist then is helping us to understand that God will keep us stable as we are navigating the mountainous terrains of life. In other words, what am I saying? That we all may experience, or we will experience, some times of instability in our lives. But you know what? You can be certain that God's going to keep you stable in those times. Because on any given day, and I'm sure somebody can say amen to that, this is that in any given day, we don't know from one moment to the next what's going to happen. The songwriter says it like this. He says, life is filled with swift transitions. Suddenly our lives can be changed. But at some point, one thing that I do know that is certain is that in life, all of us are going to have to deal with unstable situations or instability. If it's not on your job, it will be in your home. And if it's not in your home, God knows, sometimes it'll be in your finances or In my case, it'll be in your health. But at some point in life, we all have to deal with instability. And you know what I do? In those moments when I feel really overwhelmed, those are the moments that I have my mirror moments where I encourage myself. You know what I do? I get me a hand mirror, or I go into the bathroom and I look at myself in the mirror and I stand flat-footed and I tell myself, Bonnie, God is your keeper. And God knows if he kept you in the past, he's going to keep you in what you're going through today. And that's an encouragement, hopefully, for somebody today, is that God is your keeper and he keeps you with constant care. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about this constant care, because there's two places really that God keeps us with a constant care. I'm only going to deal with one of them, God knows, for the sake of time. And one of the ways or places that he keeps us constant with his constant care is with peace. That's what he'll do. He'll keep your mind in peace. And so to say that he keeps us with constant care, a synonym for stable could be sane. He keeps you sane in the midst of your troubles. You see, one of the things that I've learned about God in all of the trials that I've experienced in my almost 60 years is that God doesn't allow life to cause us to lose our mind. And one of the things that I always say to myself, that's why you got to renew your mind so that you don't lose your mind. Because remember what Paul says, I believe it in Romans 12, where he tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because see, if you renew your mind, you won't lose your mind, or you'll keep your mind. But the mind that you want to keep should be the mind of Christ. Because you know what Paul says? Paul says, let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because, see, it is the mind of Christ that actually keeps our mind in perfect peace. And how does he do that? He does it through his word. That's how we get the mind of Christ. We got to study his word. We got to be in his word. We got to apply it to ourselves. And so what does the word then say about how do we keep our peace? Isaiah 26:3 says it like this. He says, he that keeps his mind on him, on who? On Jesus. He'll keep them in what? Shalom, shalom, which means a perfect peace. Because whenever the word repeats something, that means it's perfect. It can't be broken. Philippians 4:7 says what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your what? Your heart and your mind through who? Through Christ Jesus. So in other words, what it's saying is that if you will allow it, what peace will do to try to personify it is that it will stand at the gate of our hearts and stand at the gate of our mind and our emotions, and it will act like a guard that controls and monitors everything that comes into our hearts or tries to enter our hearts or enter our minds and our emotions. And so no matter what unstable situation that we're in, peace will say, no, you can't come in, because that is not the mind of God. But now, and if it's in those are things that will cause us worry, but we know that peace is of the mind of God. So anything that's going to bring peace into your mind, that's what peace will allow into your soul. It is a guard of our souls. So that's why I could come here and say with a certainty that you will not lose your mind. You may come to the edge of the cliff, but you are not going to fall over. Why? Because God's going to stabilize us with his stabilizing power. He's going to keep us from slipping into the valley of despair. God knows. I know what I'm talking about, because I have been there in more ways than I would like to count this morning. Oh, God, I can say even last year, just this time, I received a call. It was late in the evening, and somebody on the other end, another family member, told me that my younger brother had just died from a sudden heart attack, young. And in the midst of that grief, oh, God, I felt like I was going to lose my mind, because that was my baby. And God called them home. But God kept me in peace. And how did he do it? He did it because his word kept coming up in my spirit. Because the one thing that I was concerned about is whether or not I was going to see my brother again. Because I'll tell you, the one reason that you want to stay in the Lord and why you want to make sure that your family members are in the Lord. So if you got the word of God and you know who Jesus is, it's this day and time you should be making sure that you are telling your brothers and your sisters and your uncles and your cousins about who Jesus is. But I was still concerned whether or not my brother was with the Lord because he was my baby. And so the word would come up in my spirit. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And you know what that would be? It would pull me back from that place of despair that I was in. Or I would hear a word that said that that I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I go, you shall be also. And that word kept me stable in the midst of that unstable situation. Let me move on, God. I want to respect the time. So that's how God keeps us stable with his constant care. But I also wanted to tell you that he keeps your mind stable with peace, but he keeps your emotions stable with joy. I can't go into it because of time, but I do want to tell you this, like I would tell the kids in kids' place, that happiness is what happens, but joy comes from Jesus. In other words, happiness is temporal, but joy, because it is the spiritual entity of God, it is a part of his character, it is something that is eternal. And so what God then does is that he stabilizes our emotion with his joy, because joy really is just seeing the hand of God at work. And so it will stabilize your emotion, no matter what it is that you're going through, because you will see that God is still at work. You may not be in the place that you want to be in, but you will have joy deep down in your spirit. And even in the midst of your tears, sometimes God will put a smile on your face. Lord, help me. So the Lord doesn't just keep us with constant care. But the second point of encouragement is that we can glean from this psalm is that he will keep us shielded. Shielded with his powerful protection. In verse number 5 and 6, it says that the Lord is thy keeper. Let me settle down. And the Lord is the shade of your right hand. And that the sun, it won't smite you in the day, and the moon won't smite you by night. And so what the second speaker then is confirming to the first speaker is that the God that we serve shields us, covers us from the elements and the enemies. And so when the psalm says, just to put it in context, that shade on thy right hand, the context is this, is that it is really painting a picture of a military scene, because the right hand would represent the vulnerable side of a warrior. Because you see, in biblical times, the warriors, they would carry two things into battle. The one would be a sword and the other one would be a shield. But the shield would be in the left side, and the sword, because that would be the stronger hand, would be on the right side. So can you see it? The shield, which would be protecting the left side, but what side would be open? The right side. And so what he's saying is the vulnerable side, that what God will do is that he will shield the vulnerable sides. And so this psalmist then is telling us that God will shield us in terms of being our defender. What the psalmist is helping us to understand is God is deliberate to take a defensive position to protect us in the areas where we are most vulnerable. Just put that thing in your mind and then tell yourself, that's the place that God is keeping me. Because that's what this psalm comes to tell us. David said it like this in Psalms 41. David describes the Lord as his defender. He says that the Lord would protect him and keep him alive, and that he wouldn't give him over to his enemies. Why? Because God is our defender. Now, the word shade means that it covers us. In other words, that he covers us and he doesn't allow anything to touch us. And when it says day or night, in other words, he's saying it's 24/7 coverage. You know how that is, right? He's open, he's covering us 24/7, 365 days a year. So it means that's the kind of protection that we get. Because why? He never sleeps, nor does he slumber. And when it says shade, shade is the same word in the original language that we find in another well-known Psalms. It's Psalms 91, you know, where it says that we're under his what? The shadow of his wings. In other words, we're protected, we're covered from all hurt, harm, and danger. And so the Psalms then is letting us know that the sun, he says, won't smite you. Here it is in context. When the children of Israel would be going up to worship God, they would have to go through the desert, and the heat, God knows, I've been there. I lived there for 2 years in Israel, and I could tell you that this heat wave we went through, it is nothing compared to the heat that I've experienced in the desert in Israel. It's a blazing heat that is unbearable and will easily dehydrate you. And so what he's doing is he's literally painting a picture for this psalmist to say that God will cover you so that a heat stroke won't become your reality. In other words, he's saying, don't worry, God's going to shield you from harmful elements. And then he goes on to say the moon. So let's put that into context, that the moon won't smite you by night. In context, what would happen is that while they would be traveling, at night there would be robbers that would wait in the cliffside. And these robbers would be waiting to attack them as they were making their way up to Jerusalem. And so the secondary speaker then wants the original speaker to understand that God will keep them shielded from the elements and the enemies that are waiting for them, the visible dangers and the invisible enemies. Does it sound familiar? It should. John 10 and 10 should come to your mind, right? Where it says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But what does God come to do? To give us abundant life. Why? Because he's watching over us. And so the psalmist then is telling this original speaker, don't worry, that God's going to block everything that comes to harm you. And so we need to understand then is that God will block everything that comes to harm us, even the things that we can't even see. God will just step in the middle of some things that are coming to attack us. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some things. That doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer some things. But he does mean that God will block the full intention of the enemy that is against us. You know what I always think about? You know, we don't know the half of the things that the enemy wants to attack us with, that God had did what? Blocked. Because he does what? He shields us with his powerful protection. We don't know how many accidents that God has kept us from, that he has blocked even this morning. You don't know. We don't know how many diseases that God has shielded us from. We don't know how many times that we've even come into contact with COVID, but God shielded us. And even if we were attacked by COVID, right, God still shielded us from death. How do I know? Because I'm looking at you if you had it. God shields us. He shields us. He shields us with his powerful protection. So that's why we can never be ungrateful, no matter how many things we are going through that is causing us pain and grief in our life. We should always be grateful because God blocks half of the things. And God help me. God help me. God help me. God help me. You can't have, thank you, God knows I need it. Help me, Jesus, because I got to respect the time. So now, I am going to give you this illustration. You know, I was doing business. I used to own the business that I used to import food into Sierra Leone. And at the time that I was there, it would be a war-torn city. And some people used to always say, aren't you afraid to be there? And no harm would ever come to me. And you know why that is? It was not because I was so spiritual. It was not because I was so deep or did everything right. But before I went into that country, God sent me a word. I'll never forget it. It was in 1998, and God sent the word. It was Psalms 105 and 15. And that word said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. God say, go. And the reason I'm so happy that I went is because that's when I received my call into ministry. But you know what? I know that there were some spiritual forces because I was on an assignment from the Lord that wanted to harm me. But what did God do? He shielded me. And so let me end because I only got about 2 more minutes, but I'm going to try to take 3. God, I hope. God keeps us shielded. He keeps us shielded. But it doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be afflicted. But it does mean that he's going to protect us and that he's going to defend us and that he's going to be a hedge of protection around ourselves. And he does it himself. So God keeps us stable with his constant care. And he keeps us shielded with his powerful protection. And here's the final point, that God keeps us protected, or maybe I should say it this way, that God keeps our soul with his persevering or preserving power. We'll see it in 7 and 8, which I won't go through. But the bottom line is, you'll see it up on the board, hopefully, that Psalm 7, at least, that the Lord says that he's going to preserve us from all enemies, and he's going to preserve our soul, and he's going to preserve us going out and coming in. And I'm just going to let you know that basically what he's saying is that God doesn't just preserve our journey to Jerusalem. That's what he's telling him. But he's going to preserve your soul on every journey that you will travel in. And he's going to do it for all of eternity. And here's the most important. That word for soul, it actually means, it's a beautiful word. I was really struggling to find the right interpretation, but it actually is the breathing part of a person, right? It's the part that gives us activation and motivation. It's a part of the human being that, meaning that it encompasses our mind, that's our soul. It encompasses our emotions, that's part of our soul, and our will. That's every part of us. That's why when the psalmist says in 23 that he restores my soul, in other words, he keeps me alive. And literally when in Psalms 103, remember when he says, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. He's commanding everything within himself, his mind, his emotions and his will to praise the Lord. And so the bottom line is that God is the one that keeps us alive. It is not. And I'm going to leave you with this last thought. It is not us working out that's keeping us alive. It is not us taking medicine. And yes, we should take it if the Lord should say the same. Or eating right or keeping our sleep rhythms. What's keeping us alive is the fact that God is preserving our soul. And I'm going to end with this. Is that, do you remember when Paul was at the end of his life? And one of the things that Paul did was he knew that God was his personal keeper. And he said that I am not ashamed. I know in whom I believe. And I hope this is all of our testimonies. And I know and I am persuaded, he said, that God is able to do what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, until I die. The question is, Do you have the same confession? If so, then you can have the assurance this morning that God is your keeper. And I can't leave without giving you the application, and then I'm done. I'm only 2 minutes over. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Somebody was praying, because I was anxious about that time. Because I know I could be long-winded. But God, this is how I want you to apply this. I'm hoping that you will apply this. You see, one of the things that I know about the enemy is that he doesn't care how much word we get. You can read your Bible all day and night. He doesn't care. What he cares about is whether or not you're going to apply it to your life, because that's where you get the power from the word. That's how your mind is kept, and that's how your emotions is kept. Here's how you can do it. If you have children, then pray over this psalm over your children as they are departing on their daily journeys, right? Whether they're going back to school or whether they're going to their grandmother's house, pray the psalms over them. If you're getting ready to have surgery, pray this psalm over yourself. Or whenever you're going out or coming in, pray the psalm. And this is what I do. I insert my name, or insert your child's name or whoever you're praying this over, where it says my or your. And one of the things that I can tell you from experience is that when you pray like that, the word of God, it will work in your life and that power will come through. And you know what it's going to do? Deal with the anxiety and the trouble that might be in your soul. And so I'm closing with this message. It's a doxology that Jude said. He said, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, he said, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So if you believe it, let's give God a hand clap for his keeping power in your life and in my life. Amen.